A very good morning to you, my dear listeners. And it's a Monday morning. I hope you had a beautiful weekend where you could have rested. And then, so if you rested, so you could be able to face this week with more energy and oomph, as they normally say. And welcome to Eagle FM. Welcome to and thanks for joining us this morning. And as I said, you probably have Howard. Tell me, how was your weekend? How was your weekend today? So did you rest it enough and be able now to feel revitalized and ready to face the week? You know, people, we have a country to build. 2030, it's only about 5 years. You know that the objective of 2030 was that, you know, by 2030 this country should be industrialized. So now we have actually 5 years to make sure that Namibia is actually industrialized, you know. So yeah, let's get start working. So it's a bit cold to this morning. And I hope that wherever you are, the weather is really super and good. And and if you're driving to work, dropping the kids or wherever you're going this morning, make sure that you are buckled up and you drive safe. You follow the traffic rules and regulations to make sure that, you know, people around you, yourself and those around you are safe. All right. So yes, welcome to Unpacking the Day. My name is Mike Oshoveli and this is the show where we dive deep into the stories, events and issues that shape our world. So this show is all about breaking down the headlines, exploring the context behind the news and understanding how it impacts our lives. So whether it is the latest development in politics, business, culture or social issues, we're here to make sense of it all together. So, but it is not just about us talking. It's about you. Share your thoughts, opinion and perspective on the topics that matter most to you. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So we go up to 9:30 and around quarter to eight, we will cross over to Wintuk studio and to our usual F&B Namibia segment that will come to you live from Wintuk studio, and around 8 o'clock we will come back again. We'll cross back again to Ondangwa, back to me to continue as usual with unpacking the day. So by quarter to eight, we will cross over to Wintuk with my colleague Juju for F&B Namibia segment. So stay tuned for that. It's coming up at quarter to eight. So wherever you are, welcome. And this is Unpacking the Day. So the ninth of the sixth month, the month of June, the year is 2025. So what happened on this day in Africa? So on the 9th of June, on this day in Africa, 9th of June 2020, Sudanese militia leader, Ali Kushaib was actually arrested and then inducted for war crimes and war crimes and crimes against humanity related to Darfur conflict. So on the 9th of June 2020, a Sudanese militia leader Ali Kushaib was arrested and indicted for war crime and crimes against humanity related to Darfur conflict. So the same day, the 9th of June 2020, Freeman Bowe, a leader of the main opposition party, Sedema, this is Tanzanian political violence, was shot outside his home in Dodoma, drawing a concern over political repression in Tanzania. So, yes, nothing much actually happened on this day. In Africa, something significant on this day in Africa. So, yeah, that's all what we have on this segment, on this day in Africa. So, it's a Monday morning, and our thought for the day is after honor and state, follow envy and hate. After honor and state, followed envy and hate. So the problem means that when someone attains honor, let's say reputation or respect or state power and higher positions, it often sparks envy and hatred in others who feel slighted and overshadowed. Now expect that as you rise in status or influence, some will resent you. Not because of your flaws, but because of your success. So the proverb is a reminder to keep your achievement in perspectives and guard your spirit even as you climb. So today, thought of the day, honor after honor and state follows envy and hate. So make sure that, you know, when you rise, just expect that as you rise in status or influence, some will resent you, not because of your flaws, but because of your success. So that's our thought for the day. And good morning to you if you're just joining us, and thanks for joining us. We're happy that you are in our company this morning, and we love to be in your company. So,
my friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafa sana nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyawo ota ingongotisa mwene. Ana geshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandisoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yo mo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma onora heta tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano o niyaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right.
You're now tuned into the F&B segment, proudly brought to you by F&B Namibia. A very good morning to you, Namibia, and welcome to the F&B segment. Now, today we're talking about fraud awareness. And of course, I do have a wonderful guest in studio with me all the way from F&B Namibia. Mm-hmm. and I'm referring to Theo.
Good morning. Good morning, listeners and our client. Happy to be here again.
Of course. Theo Hiduluka, it's a pleasure to have you. And Theo is a client support specialist from FNB Namibia. Now, Theo, we're back to talk about fraud awareness and prevention. And I understand that there's a difference between fraud and scheming or a scam. What's the difference between the two?
All right. So fraud is basically the umbrella that covers everything. So fraud then have subcategories, mm-hmm. which includes scamming and money laundering. So scamming is when somebody tricks you in revealing your information or personal information. This doesn't only apply to banking. Mm-hmm. It applies overall. So scamming is when somebody comes with the intent to defraud you mm-hmm. by tricking you or using other methods to get information from you to use it either against you or to harm others. So basically it's a trick that they use. Mm. And in the banking sector, there are so many. There's impersonator, there's email. So there's a big, 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 big umbrella with all of that. So we need to be very careful, very aware at all times, because you will probably, there will be a fraud occurring to you, but you will not notice it is. So fraud is umbrella. Then it has subcategories.
Oh, I see.
Scamming, money laundering. So we're not going to go into detail with it, but yes, we are mostly going to focus on scamming because that is what most of our clients are experiencing. And we are going to be here to give more light on that, what to do, what not to do, where to go, and the steps to follow.
Okay. Now, as someone who deals directly with those cases, of course, you can share specifics and without getting you into trouble either. Share a story of a fraud case you had and how it was handled.
All right. Banking is sensitive. It's money, so it and personal information. Mm-hmm. So I'll try my level best to give a scenario, real life one.
Yeah.
One of the scenarios that I have dealt with personally is one of our clients called in a moon ago to report that he was receiving suspicious SMSs.
Yeah.
And the client said, no, he got a call. The person was impersonating that he won something from a certain company. Mm-hmm. And for them to access the funds, he must provide that OTP he's receiving. Now, upon learning that, what we normally do, we immediately block every access to the account while we investigate and so forth. So the client then read the message. Mostly the message will indicate OTP has been sent to you. You're about to link a certain device to your banking. Please do not share this message. So that is the key to accessing your account. And that key goes to your phone. Mm-hmm. So as a client, be very vigilant. Do not share this key with anybody. Be that it's somebody pretending to call in from the bank. Mm-hmm. Be that it's a bank official. Be that it's a minister. Mm. This is your personal information that only you must have access to. About the beginning of the month, I know there was a media briefing at our headquarters and our CEO for Retail, Mrs. Nangula, also stated that you must have unique passwords. You must not share your passwords, and your password must not be the same across all spectrum.
Yeah.
Meaning that your Windows password must not be your banking password.
Mm-hmm.
And so forth. So there's a lot of things we can do to protect ourselves as individuals. But the most important thing is awareness.
Yeah.
Pay attention to details. So the client called in. We secured the account. Unfortunately, nothing was lost. We told him the correct channels to follow when, if there was a loss of funds and so forth. So yes, there are steps that are in place to protect the client, as mm-hmm. that our clients are our biggest assets.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What's that one thing that that client did that actually secured him not to be scammed?
The first thing that he did is he called the bank. Mm-hmm. Very important. Call us on our official line, 061-299-2222. At all times. Secondly, he did not share his information.
Yeah.
So these two actions already stop anything. And we keep trying to emphasize this on our clients that it doesn't matter if the person calls you and they have your information like your ID number, your name. Mm. Those are public information. And our clients are business owners as well. And they sell things on social media, put their banking information there. Mm. So your account number, your ID, your cell phone number, this is not sensitive information in terms of now when it comes to fraud.
Yeah.
They can use that to convince you. They can call you and tell you, I'm speaking to Mrs. This is your ID number. don't fall for that. As long as you do not provide that OTP, do not click on links that requires your card information, you'll be safe. So the client did what we want the client to do. Mm-hmm. They didn't share. They called us. We reported it. We got the information. We got the number. And it was put through to the stakeholders and the other department that deals with this directly as well. So very important, do not share your information with anyone.
Wonderful. Now, a lot of listeners are asking us about the procedures of reporting a fraud case. They say, when I call 061-299-2222, what happens next?
All right. When you report a fraud case, there will always be somebody to assist you. The first thing we do is we need to establish what happened. So we do ask our clients to be calm when they call us and collect as much information as they can. So when they call us, the first thing we do is we secure your accounts. We make sure that there's no longer any access to this account from the outside. While this is happening, we then collect as much information as we can from the client. What did the client compromise, knowingly or unknowingly? Mm-hmm. Who was the client speaking to? Is there a number that they call from? What was the discussion and so forth? Now, while we are doing that, the process has already started. So it's going to go to our forensics team. It's going to go to our compliance team and also external stakeholders such as the police will get involved and so forth. Mm-hmm. So it's very important to come when you call the bank, must have at least more information on what we can work with. Mm. And also from there, because you were defrauded, it is a criminal case. So we will advise you to actually go open up a criminal case, get us the affidavits and so forth. Mm-hmm. And then we engage with the Namibian police and other stakeholders to track down the syndicates. We are calling it a syndicate because it should be, as they are calling our vulnerable clients. And just to mention on that, especially to our parents and grandparents that we see that are mostly the target. We want our young ones to educate them as well at home. Yeah. Your parents, talk to your parents. Mommy, if you get a call, please don't answer because they target the vulnerable as well. And it's only we can defeat fraud, the bank, the community, because it's a pandemic worldwide. So, yes. Yeah, so after that, after you did your report, our forensics team and other stakeholders will now start investigating, getting everything together. Mm-hmm. And you will be kept in the loop day by day. What's happening? What is the next step until eventually everything has been resolved and so forth?
Okay. Well, I'm not sure if you're in a position to answer the next one, but let's say I get a suspicious call. Can I report that phone number to FNB or even the police?
Yes. If you get a phone call from any number, report it. Even if you are not scammed, even if you do not provide any information, report it so that we can report it to the police as well as the mobile communication company. The numbers are registered.
Yeah.
So it's very important that you report any attempts, failed attempts or successful attempt to defraud you. Mm-hmm. We need this information. These numbers need to be blacklisted. Mm-hmm. As I stated before, it's a syndicate and we need to defeat them. So yes, we definitely appreciate that you via our official channel. And the other thing that I can also mention is the bank will never call you on private numbers, private emails. We always go through the right communication for transparency's sake as well as record's sake.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. No. Well, before we do actually move on, which route does the bank normally take so that we're all cleared and the listeners are cleared as well?
In terms of
calling.
Calling. All right. So whenever we call our clients, we always use our official numbers.
Okay.
And FNB's official numbers usually start with 061-299.
Yeah.
If we cannot get a hold of you, we will definitely send you an email on our official emails.
Mm-hmm.
We don't assist clients on WhatsApps. We don't assist clients on social media.
Mm-hmm.
I see that there's a lot of investment schemes happening on social media where you are conned in trying to invest. That is a scam.
Mm-hmm.
Call the bank. We are always available and we will never call you from a cell phone number or personal email.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is documented and everything we must follow the correct channel to protect you as the client.
Okay.
If you are suspecting anything, let the bank know immediately.
Mm-hmm. Okay. While we are there, you spoke about investment schemers and stuff like that. Now, a user recently reported to us about being scammed via an investment opportunity. Now, tell the listeners about how sometimes the scams come in the form of an opportunity that seems too good to be true.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes. If it's too good to be true, it's not.
Okay.
And we have noticed an upkeep of this, especially at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
With our late father, our late founding father, as well as our first lady who is the president. So these scammers use these life event opportunities to try and confuse you. So you hear that, no, we're investing, you give 5,000, you get 25,000 back, which is almost 250,
yeah.
250% more. If it's too good to be true, it's not true. Secondly, investment schemes. On social media,
mm-hmm.
no.
Mm.
Thirdly, they target you individually. And that's why we say there's a syndicate that mm-hmm. is watching you on social media.
Yeah.
So you must be very careful what you put on social media. Also to our business communities and so forth. Most of the time when you're selling your goods, you tend to put all your information on.
Yeah.
Your full banking details.
Mm-hmm.
Your cell phone numbers and so forth. It's not wrong, but be careful because they use this information to come and con you. They take this information that you took and they come with you with a story, Mrs. Who Who, and then you will fall for it because, oh, this person knows my information.
Yeah.
So yes, be very careful what you share on social media platforms as the scammers are advancing each day and they are keeping an eye out. As well as the investment of AI,
mm-hmm.
be very careful mm-hmm. On that as well. I think last month or month before, Bank of Namibia released
a
warning, basically, mm-hmm. yes, that this is not the governor. So that's how advanced they are getting. And these people are busy each day. So, yes.
And interestingly, people can't tell the difference between an AI-generated video and one that is real. You know, but
yes.
There's something to eat that can tell you that this is not right.
Yes.
So I guess so you have to be on the lookout for that.
Yes.
Now we have focused on cyber or digital fraud. Let's not forget easily a fraudster can take advantage of you in person as well.
Yes.
Walk us through precautionary measures to take when shopping or using the ATM.
Yes. Thank you so much. So the ATMs.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, nobody should assist you at the ATM. Be very careful of your surroundings at the ATMs. Nobody should come to you and ask your card to use at the ATM. If you are unsure of what's happening at the ATM when you're either depositing, making a transaction, our official numbers are right next to the ATM. Call the bank for guidance.
Yeah.
Or rather, if you see that there's a suspicious person in the background or they are trying to harass you, leave the ATM. Go get another ATM. So your surroundings very important. Do not provide your cards to anybody for further assistance. They must have their own card.
Mm-hmm.
And also, one of the functionalities that our clients might not be aware of, your FNB app is your personal banker.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do, for example,
mm-hmm.
and when I'm not using my card,
mm-hmm.
I can temporarily block it on my app. And you can unblock it anytime. So
mm-hmm.
even if you lose the card, even if you leave it somewhere,
mm-hmm.
nobody will be able to use it.
And because it's blocked.
It's blocked. And the other thing is, a good thing is, mm-hmm. if you're on MTC network, if you're on 081,
mm-hmm.
the FNB app works for free. You don't need to have data. You can be on 08, it works. So
okay.
we have brought banking in the comfort of your own hands.
Mm-hmm.
So there are certain things you can do to protect yourself. Simple things. Be out on the lookout.
Mm-hmm.
Block your cards and so forth. And also when you're swiping, be very careful on the swipe machines. For the clonings.
Yes.
Yes. Especially at a suspicious vendor. You see that you're swiping, it's not going through, it's declining, but you're just swiping now. It's fine. Rather use another method, of payment. The simple steps can protect you.
And save your money.
Yes. Okay. And save your money. Yes.
Okay. Now, Theo, lastly, if I do let you go, any other tips that you want to share with us in terms of fraud and just being aware not to be scammed?
All right. To our listeners and our clients, you have seen FNB has been in most of the towns with our fraud campaigns. Visit them. They are always at malls, roadshows. Visit them to find out more if you are not comfortable over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
But the tips that I can give, it's the same tips that we are always going to give. Do not share your information, banking information, with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Have unique passwords across your banking.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, if it's too good to be true, it's
not true.
Fourthly, call the bank at all instants when you suspect fraud or somebody's trying to defraud you. Report it. Always report it. Thirdly, be aware of scammers. They come in a sheep dressed in wolf's clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Be very careful. They are there for your hard-earned funds. We need to protect you, but you also need to go the extra mile and just those small precautions. Don't provide your information. Don't share your OTP and so forth. So yes, if you do that, you'll be fine.
Exactly. Okay. I sure hope that the listeners did take notes and they're being one step ahead with all this information that Theo actually shared with us. Now there you had it from Theo Hidulika. He is a client support specialist from FNB. Now from Indafa Apishuju, it is goodbye. And that's what we had for you today on the FNB segment. This has been the F&B segment, proudly brought to you by F&B Namibia. Catch the F&B segment every Monday from 7:45.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%.
Need lightning fast internet? Paratus has you covered. The network Namibia relies on. Whether for business or pleasure, Paratus's cutting edge technology ensures both reliable and speedy internet connectivity. We exist to serve your needs through our high quality network and pride ourselves in offering client service excellence. Connect to Paratus today. Visit us online at paratus.africa/Namibia or call us on 083-300-1000.
Always attend Paratus.
All right. Good morning. Welcome back. And we are back here. We are back here in Ondangwa. Thank you, Juju, for the FNB segment. Welcome back. So our time is about 2 minutes past the hour of eight. And if you want to continue listening to Eagle FM at this point in time, so make sure that you download the Eagle FM for you to be able to listen to your favorite shows, to listen to news. I mean, to follow the news, economic news, business news, you know, the latest development. Policy development. So make sure that you download the Eagle FM app, for you to, continue listening, to Eagle FM. And also You can also listen us for through the our website, www.eaglefm.com.na. So, and also today is a Monday. You can grab your digital copy of The Villager. It published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Today is Monday, so make sure that you grab that. Or what you need to do is send a WhatsApp message with your name and email at 081-241-44 and we also so if you're a business person and you would like to advertise your businesses, or you want to promote your events and your anything or any event at all, whether it's cultural, business, church events, political events. So yeah, we Eagle FM, we make it easier for you with this. We have this complimentary app, the app, the Imba, and also the Eagle FM app. You know, these are perfect for really boosting your product and services, or promoting your event to a wide range of listeners and consumers. So, and don't forget our social media platform. As I always say, these are some of the most active platform in a country, giving you a perfect space to elevate your brand or product to many people in the country. So if you want to stay informed, stay connected to Eagle FM as we go throughout the day. So a very good morning to you. If you just joining us, welcome to Unpacking the Day. So now today the leading story in today's edition of the Villager, it is about electrifying Namibia's home, especially in our peri-urban and rural communities. There's a story by Nginomen Mavali Erastus about electrifying 206,000 household with a cost of 4.7 billion. So, and I want to think about this. You know, it's very cold, and it's winter, and it's very cold for many families. The simplest act of heating water for a bath, it's actually a daily struggle, you know, what they go through just to heat up some water for a bath. It's a, and this kind of weather, it's a struggle. It's a struggle. And that because out of over 750,000 households in Namibia, a very significant number still actually live in the dark. They still live in darkness. They still live without electricity. 750,000 households in Namibia, according to the article, they still actually, which is actually a significant number, still live in darkness. No electricity, no easy access to basic energy needs. So the national power now, the national power utility, NamPower, has put a price tag, if you like, a price tag on changing this reality. They put on a price tag of changing this reality. So a 4.7 billion to electrify about 206,000 household by 2030. Yeah. So that's the price tag. That if they have 4.7 billion, they will be able to electrify 206,000 households by 2030. So this morning, we are talking about what this number means for our country and for our people and actually for our future. So let's break down the critical issues from the from this very story. So let's look at some of those critical ones. One critical issue is the scale of the challenge. NAMPOWER's current pace, the current pace is mere, according to the article, it's a mere 400 peri-urban and 200 rural connection per year. You know, 400 connection for peri-urban and 200 connection per year for rural. So, and you think at this rate, at this rate, the 2030 target, it would be really a distant dream. With that pace, the 2030 target of electrifying 260,000 household, that would be a distant dream. So the plan is to ramp up to 30,000 peri-urban and 11,200 rural connection annually. 30,000, you know, peri-urban connection every year, 30,000 connection annually for peri-urban and also 11,200 rural connection annually. So, and that is actually a massive leap, one that demands not just an ambition. So that doesn't demand just an ambition, but a really, really, really serious resource, and I think coordination as well. So that's the issue. The scale of the challenge is, I think, is to, and why this is matter actually. So sometimes we're looking at, when we think of access to electricity, we only think in terms of maybe light and be able to charge, our appliances, you know. I think there's more to that. And it's about, you have to think in terms, it's about education, you know. Kids studying after dark. So a kid be able to study, you know, after dark for a test that they're writing tomorrow, whatever the case may be. So it's about health. You have to think that this is about health. As I said, it's not just about light and appliances. It's about health. Imagine a clinic in the rural that actually need, you know, the clinic need to store vaccine safely. They need electricity. They need electricity. So you have to think about, it's about economic growth. Yeah? Small businesses running equipment and staying open longer. So I think when we talk about electrification, we are talking about really unlocking human potential. We're talking about unlocking human potential. And that's why I think it's matter. So the other thing then, the other critical aspect that we can get from this, from the article is the funding gap. The funding gap. So the 4.7 billion, it's quite a lot of money. It's quite a lot of money. NAMPOWER say it needs over $500 million every year. It needs $500 million every year for the next 5 years, just for peri-urban areas. So, and the rural electrification adds another about between 200 to 300 million annually. So, now, the big question is, with that amount of money, the big question is, where will this money come from? Where would this money come from? Is it from the government budget? Would it become coming from the government budget? Would it come from international loans? public private partnership? Would it come from public private partnership? Or would it be, would we increase again the tariff? Would we increase again the tariff? So where would the money come from actually? Now, and each option, whatever each option, you know, each option has a trade-off, you know, affecting everything from either from national debt to household energy bill. So that's actually a challenge. So now, if funding, let's say for example, if funding falls short, remember the target, we will miss that target. So if the funding falls short, because that's a massive money, that's massive money. So, and where does the money come from? So the power utility only put on a price tag that if this is money available, we would be able to do this. But where does it come from? So, and the funding falls short, definitely we will miss that target. So, and missing that target means we're talking about peri-urban and rural electrifications. So that means thousands of families are left behind. We're deepening that urban-rural divide, and slowing the national progress. So that's the risk that is involved. So in the article, looking also at some urbanization and migrations as more Namibians move from rural to urban areas, you know, the towns are swelling. They become, you know, larger and larger in terms of population and infrastructure. Right now, many of the peri-urban areas and rural areas still don't have access to electricity. So NamPower, the National Electricity Utility, reports that only a few hundred new connections are made each year in these areas, in the rural and also in peri-urban. So, which is far too slow compared to the growing demand. It's far too slow compared to the demand of infrastructure, demand of the populations. So if the pace of electrification, it doesn't increase significantly, which should increase actually based, that also depend on the money. So this expanding peri-urban settlement will continue actually to lack this reliable power, this reliable energy. So, and this means that despite living near the cities, we live near the city, we see the light from the city, but many people will still actually face challenges like no heating during a cold season like this, limited access to clean waters because you need, which often requires electricity for pumping, And the second goes on, fewer opportunity for education and business. Because when, without electricity, you know, how do you do your business? So, in other words, the promise of city life, better service, jobs, and improved living standard remain out of reach for many because the necessary infrastructure, especially electricity, is not keeping up with the population growth. So without enough funding and faster electrification efforts, I think these areas risk becoming, you know, a sprawling settlement where progress stalls, doesn't go, and it, you know, there's no progress at all. And people quality of life stays poor. So, yeah. So those are some of the, when you look at that, when you go deeper into that, there are so many aspects that you can digest and look at with from the stories. There are so many things that comes out there. So we're racing against time. Only 5 years left. 2030 is just 5 years away. It's only about 5 years away. So the target are ambitious, but the current pace is sluggish, if you can say. So achieving these goals means not only finding the money, but also building the capacity. So more skilled workers, maybe more materials, and it requires a fast project delivery because it's only about 5 years left. So, and delay, what does delay mean? Delay could mean higher cost down the line. So if you don't do it now, down the line, it might cost you a lot. And it also, you can also think that it's a lost opportunity for an entire generation. So those are some of the, yeah. So then what is at stake? So what is at stake really? So this is about more than you know infrastructure. It's about when you think, it's not just about, as I said earlier on, it's not just about, you know, light and that I can be able to charge my phone and all that. It's when you have to think about it, it's about dignity. And it's about actually opportunity. It's about opportunity, many opportunities. You know, if a learner cannot be able to study, that's opportunity actually cut off. That's the future actually cut off. If a business person is not be able to do their business because no matter what ideas they have or that, then that's an opportunity cut off. And as a matter of fact, it's equality. It's about dignity. It's about opportunity. It's about equality. Equality in terms of that, you know, there is a large portion of our society that is actually not receiving the service that they need to. It's about making sure that no Namibian is left in the dark. But so for so many years now, and this is literally, non-Namibians should be left in the dark, literally and figuratively. So, as we watch how this story, you know, unfold, let's keep asking the tough questions. How will we fund this? How will we fund this? How will we ensure efficiency and accountability? And most importantly, how do we make sure that every Namibian household, from the city street to the most remote village, shares in the light of progress? How do we make sure that? So that's the question. Maybe that's where you need to come in as well. And have your share and have your contribution to this, this item. So our telephone number, 0808-333-66091. So 0808-333-66091. So you may come through and have your reaction to the story or your own contribution. 0808-333-66091.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsie Nehangano, the Osherero Omaimburiro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Selfwar Tiara, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-238-0633. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the
I. A very good morning to you. If you just joining us now, you are tuning to Unpacking the Day. So, this is a show that goes on until the hour of 9:30. And this morning we're looking at our first item on the show. It's about electrification of especially areas like peri-urban and rural communities. So, and NamPower has put on a price tag and on making sure that that reality of electrification of peri-urban and rural communities become a reality. And this about electrifying 206,000 households by the year 2030. So, well, that dream, that ambitions, has got some challenge. First of all, when you look at their current pace, it's very, 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 very slow. You know, about 400 connection every year for peri-urban areas and 200, for rural per year. So it's going to take massive, serious resources and coordination to be able to meet that target. So, yeah. And, that's the story by, Nino Minavari, looking at. So, and I think it's very important. It's, we also have to look at that from the human point of view, that this is very, very, very important because, when we're talking about electrification, we're talking about human development, we're talking about economic development, we're talking about quite a lot of we can't develop without energy, without electricity. So, as I said earlier on, think about the child that need to study, after dark. Think about the clinic that is actually in the rural areas. They are not storing their vaccines safely because there's no electricity. A business person, small businesses that, can't stay a bit, they can't open a bit longer because, they have to close as much as early as possible because, they can't run equipment and stay open longer. So those are really, 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 issues that we need to talk about seriously. And sometimes we have to go beyond the rhetoric that is, that are made, and think deeply and analyze some of these issues. So, and the big question is also the money that required to be able to do that. Where would that money come from? I think that's the biggest question. Where would it come from? Would it come from the government's budget? Would you actually loan? Would that be an international loan? Would be a debt that you, some loan that you make? Would it be the PPPP, you know, the private partnership, the private, public, private partnership? So the other, that what NAMPA has been doing is actually, you know, increasing the tariff, maybe increase the tariff again. So, and it has whatever, as I said, whatever option, you know, it has a trade-off, you know, so, and that would affect, you know, that would still affect everything, you know, from your national debt to, I think to how much you pay, in a household. So, yeah. And, the problem is that we, you know, without the money, if we fall short of funds, so definitely, so we must forget about this ambitious dream, you know, and many families were still left behind, especially in the rural areas and in peri-urban. So they're still actually left behind. And without also that, without electrification, it also then slow the national progress. So because that's the catalyst, that's the what is that they call, that's a support in today's forgetting the word that I wanted to use. So without that, really, that would slow the national progress and development. All right. So what is your response? What is your reaction? What do you think? What is your opinion? Our telephone number again? 08-333-66-091. 08-333-66-091. So please do come through if you want to react to that as well. Or add to that idea. So, and please do subscribe for the villager to get your Chittagong copy every Monday and Wednesday and Friday. So all what you need to do is just, you know, send your WhatsApp message to 081 241-44 and you will be receiving your Chittagong copy for free. You're not gonna pay any cent. Yeah, every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. So make sure that you do that so that you can also read a number of stories in today's edition of The Villagers. So our telephone number again, 08-333-66-091. All right. So when we come back, we're going to look at our second item. And in the meantime, you're most welcome to come through and have your reaction or your contribution on the topic.
Omudiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikawa shafasa na nana longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anage shifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa onjika. Seitha nina omayaguro nirandisoma yoe yonge shifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngwe tuende timemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma kodara heta tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano oni aj. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually
to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Catatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. And a very good morning to you if you're just joining us. And you are tuned into Eagle FM on, and you are on Unpacking the Day with Mike Oshoveli. So let's also look at this a pressing debate stirring up the health sector. The plans actually to introduce the AI powered ambulances. The health ministry recently unveiled 36 new ambulances and announced the intention actually to upgrade emergency care now with 5G connected AI supported ambulances. So, well, the politicians push back against the AI ambulances. So these smart ambulances would transmit a real-time patient data to hospitals, which is actually a good thing, allowing doctors now to guide paramedics remotely. Okay? Igrefin, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Hello, doctor.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yes, Mike. Sorry for that.
Yes, Mandumi.
Your app, guys.
What is?
And, some of us are not good when it comes to technology.
Don't worry. Gonna be sorted out. Don't worry.
Yeah. How is the morning?
So far so good, man. How are yourself?
We are doing fine too.
How's the wind, Duke? Cold?
Yeah. It's very chilly today.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Oh, that's good.
It's even like minus, but they're saying it's 0 something, but it's like minus something.
Oh.
Minus 2 or something. Yeah, it's very, very freezing.
Okay, that's good. Actually, I love that kind of weather.
Yeah, you get used to it. Some of us are not. We're too allergic to it. And yeah. We don't know what we want to do. Sometimes when it's cold, we are complaining. When it's warm, it's complaining again.
Exactly. So I think that's the time. That time I can work better. I can work better. I have more energy.
Yeah, but it's true.
Yeah, then when it's hot. When it's hot,
yeah,
it's
when bad. It's hot, it's always feeling lazy. And in this
country, 11 o'clock, it's already extremely hot. You can't do anything at all.
That's the thing now.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike, your topic, when it comes to electrician, Namibia.
Yeah.
I think the thing is that, what is even pushing the young people to immigrate from rural area to urban?
Mm.
It's because of the services which are not developed.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just imagine now, everybody's having smartphone, and the smartphone, they don't last 24 hours with their battery life.
Yeah.
And you are living in the rural area where you want to even direct, or even you're doing your assignments in the rural area.
Mm.
And you are running out of the, your battery is running out of power. So it really irritates you and it will make you even to immigrate.
Yeah.
To town, which is making everybody, town not to cop up.
Exactly.
The pressure they're getting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because you're always having this thing, push and food, it's a push and pull factor.
Mm.
Which we didn't address up to now for 35 years. We didn't address that issue. Because we are talking about the employment, we are talking about the service delivery, we are talking about housing issue, you are talking about basic necessity.
Yeah.
So many. We didn't address any of those which are missing.
Those two important things, actually. Two important things that we could have actually done in the rural areas. It's electrification, it's water. You know,
water,
if we could have provided a clean water, clean water and electricity, you would actually have reduced the chances of poverty, actually. You know, you have reduced...
And you know, Mike, the thing is that this is a fundamental when it comes to, you know, constitution.
Yeah, yeah.
But why we don't take people to court in this country? Because they weren't promising all those, but it never then come to the right.
Yeah, that's, we have a social contract with the government.
This is
what they provide. And we, it's true, sometimes we, I don't know, maybe we... It's a good point you're making, because we have a social contract with the government and they haven't, you haven't lived up to, the only way we can only, yeah, the only way it's, well, as my boss would always said, it's like, you know, get them out of power. That's the only way maybe
they'll understand you.
Yeah, you get them out of power. That's where now they realize, okay. These people are serious. They are not happy with what I'm doing. So, in terms of politics, maybe that's the only way what we can do.
But
it has been too. I think that's very important.
You see, the thing is, Mike, is that when we look at this, look at our nutrition which we're having in the country.
Yeah.
We're talking about Nasi. We're talking about Yunnan. Where are they available? I heard with the one in Enana, but I don't know what's going on. If it's still functioning or something, you know, we cannot understand.
Yeah.
And you look, when you are talking about for all four regions, except I think it's only now, when I was, there's no college. The college was graduating teachers. Some nurses are doing what? This 2 years course. It was working. Then they remove all those things. Then everything will become to stand still.
Yeah.
Now, we are having a system are popping up everywhere. Where even they are asking a grade what? Grade 9.
Yeah.
To enroll. Now, just imagine. That's why now I'm saying, our country, we don't know what we want. I don't know really what we want to achieve in the next 30 years. Because we don't have any priority which you are focusing on it. Because everything we touch here, we didn't finish, we go to the, we jump to the next one. When you are talking about even electricity, look, Nampower, they get some billion dollars from Bank of International Bank. And up to now, we don't know what their progress is. But we are talking about
But the progress is very slow, my friend. we know the progress is very, 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 very slow. You know, they put on, as I said, they put on a price tag saying they need 4.7 billion, 4.7 billion, to actually meet the target of, 206,000 households connecting 6,000 household, you know, by 2030. And that, we're talking about 750, you know, household in Namibia that haven't really, you know, haven't received that, haven't connected yet, you know. So now the problem is, where would the money come from?
Exactly.
To meet that target.
It's impossible.
And
you know, Mike, the funny thing is that when is telling even individual to come up with a program, they was almost proposing that they will waive their own electricity. You know who broke them?
Yeah.
Same institution. Who is telling you to go try anything which you can come up with to generate electricity?
Yeah.
And the Ongos will come up with that brand idea. I don't know what they are proposing to do, but they are able to function, I mean, to power their town. with their own electricity without inventing a Nampawa.
Yeah.
And Nampawa is jambon. No, you cannot do that. You know now.
Yeah.
And the thing is that when you are looking at this country, you're looking at the solar energy, you look at the biomass, you look at the, there are so many nuclear power.
Mm.
So many things we didn't even try yet. Because we are just focusing on what? Hydro.
Yeah.
And lucky enough that we have a country which is supporting us like Angola, at least, because we are using the, we are using the Kunene.
Yeah.
And even though we don't get much needed, we extend our hand to what? Power at South Africa.
Mm.
What is this? Why I'm forgetting the South African, what? Power generator.
The Eskom? Eskom?
Yeah, Eskom.
Mm.
And remember, we used to get even to Zambia. And Zambia, they cut off their hair because they're having also their own problems.
Yeah, exactly.
And even Zimbabwe, I don't know yet where we end up with Zimbabwe, because we used to get also from Zimbabwe.
Yeah, quite.
But why it's so hard for us to come up with wind power? We have a desert, my friend.
Mm.
And we are even, the desert is close to the sea. With wind blowing every day there. And we can even put us up solar energy, which can also be able to power up our even for region, because we are having this Konyaku for Mongo Koshikano.
Yeah,
the desert there.
Yeah,
there is always sunlight, my friend. But I don't know why we are having Nampawa, which always then even also, they don't have any competition, they don't have anybody to compete with, but they are not also coming up with projects which are really able for them to make more money.
Yeah, no, the problem is, how would I put this? One thing that we don't realize is that without electricity in the without a rural being electrified, that actually creates a lack of opportunities. Let me put it that way, you know?
Yeah.
So, and then what it means is that the rural community and peri-urban, they will stay behind, you know, they will remain behind. It will be difficult actually to, you know, to upgrade that now to the level where you want, because, you know, over the years, without that, you know, they children from those, you know, when it comes now to business, for example, you know, the people in those areas, they cannot create businesses because there's no electricity.
Nothing at all.
Yeah.
You know, Mike, even you are talking about your second topic, you are talking about AR. How do you channel it if the people don't have a power?
Exactly.
How on earth do we can do that? How you do even what e-learning if you don't have electricity? People to be able to communicate with one another. Because remember one thing, that some of our ally even they are still not having enough coverage of network when you're talking about, including even commerce here, which I'm talking to you.
Not even
the whole commerce, there's some say even window. If you go down to window, my friend, that side of like almost going to the dubs. Or there, or that side of Khrotob, or there, this side of a mix. I'm telling you, you may end up not even using, you want to download something. Unless you go somewhere in the mountain nearby where is enough coverage. But you are talking about the city.
Yeah.
What about the person who is behind the Congo?
My dear.
Come on, man.
That's
what I'm saying, guys. This kind of, we are focusing on little thing, we try everything to make it a smart city. Maybe those people who are living in what? Ours Brick, Academia, Pioneer Park. And yet, you are talking about smart city, but you want to include Havana, Korea Hub, Tanja Park. But how do you do that?
Yeah.
How do you do that if those people are not connected to even the tar road? In the service like a toilet. But you are making a smart city, how?
Mm.
It's a concern we have in this country, because Look, Yanni, we are the owner of our own progress, or when it comes to progress, we are the enemy of our own.
Enemy of our own progress, yeah.
Exactly. You cannot tell me, after 35 years, people have to migrate. Up to now, they are still, maybe when you are talking, I'm talking to you now, about 200 people singing it to come to window.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is what I think, because the budget which you're always allocating to government just end up in window.
Mm.
You never reach the corner of Namibia.
There is nothing in the regions. There is, you haven't developed your rule, your region. So
there's
definitely
no tar road in the region.
Yeah.
There's no water. There's no electricity. There's no network coverage. Then want people to remain there. How?
But people think, so those are coming thinking that there's a life in Mintuk, but when they comes there, the life is actually
worse
off than where they come from. Seriously, you know.
I'm telling you, this is what is happening.
Yeah. So everything you touch now requires money.
Exactly.
You know, from the village, you may be at home, really, if you like a good season this year. You may be able to eat and, you know, without really, you know, getting a cent in it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
it's very easy for you to starve, my friend.
It is.
I'm telling you, when will you be able to starve here? Because I'm telling you, your brother with you, he invites you to come to window. He will leave even the Kabasu to immigrate to his girlfriend. Then you are staying there alone.
You better get a girlfriend. You better also get a girlfriend to immigrate.
that is what we are doing to our kids, my friend. And I don't know really. Because our life, man, is to become tough every day.
Yeah.
The way you look
at
things,
like we're talking about how many today's paper, where I read how many people being retrenched. Which company is it? I forgot already.
Just imagine.
Yeah, there's about 600 people being retrenched.
I'm telling you, it's a concern.
Yeah, no.
Very, very concerned. Because now, look, I think what we need to do as a country, let us start developing the region.
Yeah.
And we make sure that those governors, if they retain the budget, this government must explain why it's retaining the money.
But Mandume, people seem to understand. When you listen to either ministers or whatever, you know, leaders, they seem to understand what is needed to be done. But the problem is, it's actually getting it done. You know, how would I say it? Someone who's really, who pushes things, even if they are not popular in the way they should be done. So we lack someone who have that energy to make sure that things are done, or the people that we have in strategic positions or executive position where the people who need to implement things, they're either redundant, seriously. And sometimes reshuffling this ED and all that, I think that's where sometimes we go wrong. We need to get rid of some of this and have some.
All of them, who have been there for 35 years, they're about to go.
Yeah.
They are not really redundant. These people have become a manual orientation. Because you cannot tell me the person who's doing a road work in window. Is the one who is doing it also in Ranasi. And you find it is doing the same thing in the Kavango.
Yeah.
You want to tell me this person is already capable? No. They become money oriented because they have all the connection.
Yeah.
They've been doing that for years. That's what I'm saying. You remember the other time you said it's very hard. Maybe she can try. But it's very hard to get rid of cockroaches. Because there's some cockroaches, they become immune to when
they know how to hide.
Yeah, they know corners.
They know every corners, my dear.
Exactly. It's what I'm saying. But it's serious. We supposed to get rid of them.
Yeah.
Because they become also multi-millionaire now. They can go and do business.
Mm.
Why should the guy be abandoned, attached like a president in government?
Yeah, no. Hmm? I think some really need to go. They really
need to go. All of them. All of them. I'm telling you, it's not a joke. They need to go, all of them. Because you cannot tell me all of them, they are capable. We never see some, except those ones who are doing working for parasite of government. Some of them, you can see they are doing well. But seriously, the ones who are involved in government, all those years, they are still the same. You can say for them here and there, but you can see. Did you say that one woman, the person who didn't get a post, and then now is working for somebody else, then is getting, you see, that's how it is, they're working.
Mm.
And you never see even people have been fired up to now. Those people are supposed to be fired. Because I'm telling you, they've been doing that for years. And it's what is been happening.
Yeah. So, well, 2030 is very close. It's just 5 years. Yeah. And the target
here. They're not talking about anymore. And within 2030 is dead.
And the target that are set here are really ambitious, but the current pace is quite sluggish, really. So.
Nobody's talking about it anymore, my friend.
And
you can go and ask them women and Prime Minister with Master Ngurawale, how far are we with the vision 2030?
Now we're talking of 2063, my dear. We shift the pole now. Yeah.
And remember, you know the thing we do in Africa? It's very funny.
Mm.
The silence of Ghana, it was supposed to be happening in 2020. And now what I see is like everything is coming up from there. And now even the young men in Burkina Faso, they try, in Africa, they are trying even to what? To sabotage what is doing. Kama is, no, that is an undemocracy. Who said democracy is working for us?
Yeah.
Why we cannot go through another route with you? We see that is working for us.
Yeah, no, why don't we have our own democracy? You know,
exactly.
That
we from the even democracy, we are talking about America's top democracy. But you remember one thing, we don't have people been hanging here. I mean, like you done something, then you can be shot or you can be killed with another. But it's what is happening in America. But here in Namibia, because human rights and whatsoever, it cannot be done.
Yeah.
But seriously, this is not working for us. Everybody can see. And that's why you come, you have a politician doing whatever he do because they are immunity. He can fly out anytime. And we saw it where people are even having two passports, free passports of other countries.
Mm.
Because now they can mess up here and then they can move to another country.
All right.
All right, my brother.
No, thanks for coming through, man.
Sure.
All right. Oh, good morning. If you're just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day, live on Eagle FM. So we're talking about rural electrification and not only rural, but, and peri-urban electrification as well. So, yeah, we're talking about, this is an article in today's edition of the Villager. So please make sure that you get yourself one. So electrifying about 206,000 household, by 2030. And, NamPower comes out and said, look, for us to be able to do that, because that's a target for 2030. So we need about 4.7 billion, to be able to meet that target. So, and, annually, the amount of money that would be asked generally now to be able to, for example, for the peri-urbans, to connect about 30,000 household, and also in the rural about 11,200. It would demand a lot, massive money, and also serious resources and a lot of coordination, I think. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, you're welcome to come through and have your say, have your opinion. So are we on course? Are we able to do that? Where are we going to get the money? Because those are the questions. Where would the money coming from actually to fund that? The price tag is there, but the question is, where does the money, where would the money come from? So that's a big question. All right. So we were looking at, we were getting into our second item on the show this morning. And this is about the, we're talking about, there was some debate last week on by the politician who are pushing back against the AI, ambulances. So the ministry, is talking about smart ambulances that would actually transmit real-time patient data to hospitals, allowing now the doctors who are to guide the doctor can be able now to guide the paramedics remotely, you know, potentially improving now. This would now improve the diagnostics and medication dispensation and also patient monitoring, you know, en route now to hospital. When now how often this happened actually? I know, there are always road accidents and things like that, but to make it a priority. Well, so this futuristic, if you like, this futuristic vision, it has really sparked a strong reaction from the politician and also from the lawmakers, who argue that the health system currently, current challenges and demand are more urgent. They need more urgent attention before investing in such an advanced technology. So, yeah, let's look at some of the issues raised and what they mean for healthcare delivery. So now there's a question of priorities. Okay. Some of the politicians and the lawmakers are asking, what is the priority? The core criticism is that the health sector is really grappling with fundamental problems. You know, severe medicine shortage. The hospitals are, they go on without, you know, medicines. Some of the infrastructures are crumbling down and you have a shortage of healthcare staff, you know, of professionals. So these are basic life or death issues affecting patient care every day. So, and the critics now argues that, the critic argues that, that pouring resources into the AI ambulances that actually risk diverting now attention to diverting attention and fund from these urgent needs. So, and the concern is that without addressing these structural deficiencies and introducing high tech ambulances could be a case of putting the cart before the horse. So that's the concern. So that these are more urgent things that need attention, that need to become to be the priority rather than actually the AI ambulances. So those are some. The other thing is that funding and resources. Now, is that a priority? Should that be a priority? So there are those who think that the minister's priority is mismatched. So, and then the second thing, it's about funding and resource allocations. Now, there are skepticism about where the money for these AI ambulances will come from. You know, given the already stretched, you know, health budget, resources are never enough. So the ministry already have this stretched
thin budget that they have. So they have ministry budget, and then the ambitious plan for smart ambulances appear really mismatched compared to the budget that they have and the priorities that we talk about, the priorities, the urgent priority that need to be addressed. So this actually raises questions about fiscal responsibility and whether the ministry have they realistically assessed its capital before making such promises. So, and in a resource-constrained environment, making every dollar, you know, every dollar spent on technology is one less dollar for essential medicines. So when you spend it on technology, that means a less dollar for essential medicines, staff salaries, and facility maintenance. So, and that's where now the critics and some of the lawmaker feels that the ministries, the ministers as plan for AI ambulances, it's actually misplaced and mismatched. So, now the other thing is the infrastructure underutilized. You may have the facilities there and all that will not be utilized because the network and the internet connectivity is not there. So, yeah, those are some of the risk that those facilities may be underutilized or failing altogether. All right. So now, this digital divide could actually widen disparities in healthcare access between the urban and the rural areas. Making it worse, you know, making it worse, the inequalities that is already existing between the rural and the urban, so making it actually making it more worse. So those are some of the ideas that or the skepticism of some of the politicians and lawmakers. So now the other thing is about timing. And a strategic approach to healthcare innovations. So while the digital health systems and AI hold, I think it's good. They hold a promise for the future. Critic cautions that, the timing is premature. Introducing advanced digital platform without first stabilizing the foundational health system, that may lead actually to wasted resources and unmet expectations. So, and there is a call for now a phased, a need-based approach that first ensures medicine availability. So it should be based on the need-based approach. You know, and at this point in time, the first, you know, need-based approach would focus more on which ensures medicine availability, enough stuff, because there are people who, you know, when you go to the hospitals, will, you know, spend, you know, hours and hours in the queue before you get actually services. And we have even people who passed on, who lost their life because they were not attended. You see? So, yeah, need-based kind of approach that ensures that medicine are available, adequate staffing, functional infrastructure before
laying and before laying on high-tech solution. So now the debate touches on the broader challenge of balancing innovation with pragmatism in public service delivery. So on one hand, embracing AI and 5G technology could actually revolutionize emergency care and potentially saving life as well through faster, more accurate interventions. But on the other hand, ignoring the pressing issues or pressing realities of medicine shortages, poor infrastructures, actually risk undermining public trust and worsening health outcomes. So, in essence, this is a question of governance, accountability, and strategic planning. So, are policymakers aligning their ambition with the ground realities, with what is happening on the ground? So that's, are they, you know, engaging stakeholders transparently about budget constraints and implementation challenges? So, and because otherwise, you know, as we said earlier on, you engage on those innovation which, with all the limitation that we have already in rural areas and other areas as well, that things become obsolete, become not being utilized. So, and crucially, are they ensuring that technological advances do not become destruction or band-aids for deeper systemic failures? So those are questions that need to be answered. So when it comes to that, so what do you think about the AI ambulance, the AI supported ambulance? So what is your opinion on that? What is your take and on some of this AI and 5G technology, you know? So what is your point? What's your take, and what is your opinion on that? So, and those the skepticals or the skeptics said, well, there are pressing issues that we need to focus on, like shortage of medicines, long queues because of shortage of staffing at health centers and clinics and hospitals. Infrastructure are not enough, and also they are crumbling. So shouldn't be this be the focus rather than actually this AI and 5G technologies ambulance equipped? So what do you think? What is your opinion? What is your take on this issue? So our telephone number, 08333-66091. 08333-66091. So you're welcome to come through and have your opinion on this matter.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved IMBA that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on IMBA app are the Elsi Nehangano, Dio Sherero o Maimburiro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Selfwar Diara, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of IMBA hymn books. 081-23-58-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover IMBA today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
June 7 Adventure Tours is offering an exclusive 20% discount for all local Namibians for the month of June and July. Get ready for an unforgettable quad biking and sandboarding adventure in the dunes. Parents, please bring the children to come and have fun on 20% discounted prices this coming June and July month. For more information, contact 081-624-9665.
Very good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. Our time, it's about 9:15 15 minutes past the hour of 9. And you are tuned in Unpacking the Day. We were looking at our second item that we're looking at. We're looking at the politicians and the lawmaker actually pushing back. You know, the story, you know, the ministry, the health ministry, recently, last week, actually, was it last week, unveiled 36 new ambulances and announced the intention to upgrade emergency care with 5G connected AI supported ambulance. So, and that sparked quite a strong reactions from politicians and the lawmakers and some citizens, you know, who argue that the health system currently, current challenges demand urgent attention before investing in such advanced technology. So that's the issue. And we're just looking at so what some of the critics actually saying that actually the AI ambulance it risks actually diverting attention and funds from these urgent needs. So, and the concern is that without addressing these structural deficiencies, so, and introducing high tech ambulances, could be a case of putting, you know, what is not important before what is actually important. So, yeah, and also looking at, you know, that the where would the money actually come from to fund this AR ambulances? So, given that the minister already have a stretched, you know, health budget. So the ministry's budget, is not, if engage in that, the budget and the ambition plans, if they engage in that, into these plans for smart and ambulances, that's actually, in terms of that, that's appear actually to, to actually mismatch what the budget actually is there. So, yeah. So those are some of the things highlighted, and I thought maybe that's something that, you know, we can talk about, and we can continue that conversations, and just to look at are the things that we prioritize, the are the things that maybe our government sometimes focus, are the really needs that need to be prioritized. And should we actually divert those resources that are very scarce, that are strict, also that are really strained, should we divert them to, you know, to priorities, to things that are not really urgent priorities? Those are the things that we should be able to look at and be able to discuss. Yeah. And, because there are things that requires more urgent, attention rather than actually, some of this. So those are some of the questions looking at some of those topical, discussions, over the week. And, I felt that maybe that's something that you, would have loved to discuss and, also focus on. So our telephone number in the studio, 0833-66091. We are in Ondangwa. So please do, come through. And, if you want to have your opinion and your reaction to that. So 10 minutes, before we come to the end of the program. We still have about time for one or two people to come through. Our telephone number again, 0833-66091. All right. The other thing maybe that I'm not gonna go into details is the it's another debate. You know, that was actually in the foreign land ownership bill controversy, you know, which has actually the parliament and the constitutional expert, people that are knowledgeable in the constitutions, and ordinary Namibian actually asking a fundamental question about, first of all, about the sovereignty and also economic development and constitutional right when it comes to foreign land ownership debate. So I'm not sure whether we're going to finish this, but the story begins with a simple but explosive question. So should foreign nationals be allowed to own land in Namibia? So, and what seems like a straightforward policy question has evolved into a constitutional crisis that revealed deep crack in our approach to land reform and economic development and national sovereignty. Now, let's start with the constitutional heart of this matter, all right? Now, the affirmative repositioning movement sparked this debate when they petitioned Parliament back in 2019, demanding a strict regulation of foreign land ownership. So, here's where now the things actually get complicated. And fascinating from a legal point of view or from legal perspective. So our constitution, and this is actually according to the, when you look at the committee, standing committee that, the parliamentary standing committee, on natural resources, when it actually do the investigation. A very good morning to you.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine, man. And yourself?
I'm not so well. I'm not so well when it comes to radio things.
Ah, don't worry. We'll sort it out.
The thing is not sorted out, but also now the app is not. I've deleted, downloaded, uploaded, reloaded. It's still not working. The app's also not down.
I think Android sometimes has a problem. I understand. We understand your frustration.
Mm.
Yeah, no, we definitely do. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
please, we also want to listen to what is happening there.
Yeah, and that something is being done. Don't worry. Yeah.
Okay. I can't comment on anything because I don't know what you're talking about, but yeah, I just wanted to let you know.
Yeah, no, I was talking about, there's only about six minutes. I was talking about the AR, ambulances. You know, and where now the politicians actually and the lawmakers, they push against that and focus and saying, look, we should focus more on urgent pressing issues of lack of medicines and staff shortages and infrastructure rather than actually, you know, have our priority mismatched, you know. Yeah. So basically that's the second item. The earlier item, it was on electrification, which the NAMPOWER says, it needs a lot of 4.7 billion to be able to meet, 206,000, household connection by 2030. So, which is actually massive money, which now the question is, where would they get the money to be able now to do that? Yeah.
4.6 billion.
4.7 billion, yeah.
They have the money. What are they talking about? Look, Mike, the thing is this, what I don't understand is this.
Yeah.
You are having a household, right? And you get an X amount, right?
Yeah.
Now that X amount, let's say it's 10,000.
Mm.
Okay. Now 10,000, if I have a certain need in my house, right?
Yeah.
Let's say for instance, I pay DSTV, I pay what. And then something comes up that is very urgent, that is priority.
Yeah.
I will have to, for that month or the next couple of months, make sure I don't pay those other things, the nice to have. Or even things that are important.
Yeah.
Maybe my kids' school fees need to be paid. Right? But I don't have the money because I have to pay this urgent thing.
Mm.
I take the kids' school fees. That's what I do. That's what everybody does.
Yeah.
Because there are things that are absolutely so important that I recognize it and then I say, okay, this is a short-term thing. I'm going to pay it.
Mm.
That 4.7 billion, they've got it. They just have to take it from somewhere else.
Yeah.
They have somewhere they've got to lose. Somewhere one ministry or another has to tighten the belt. That's it. What's so simple? What's so complicated about that?
Yeah.
If you know you've got 4.7 billion and you know that you need electricity, otherwise one of the ways of measuring whether a country is successful or not or becoming industrialized or not is access to power supply or energy.
Yeah.
So electricity, in other words, in this term. If you don't have that access, then you've got to find a way. And if you, and that's, you know, that's, I don't understand how people understand budgeting. Budgeting doesn't mean we just keep cutting the same pizza into thinner and thinner and thinner slices.
Mm.
No, it means that you take what you take what you have and then you stretch it as far as you can, but within reason to, and also being strategic.
Yeah.
So if your needs exceed your budget,
yeah,
the only thing that you can do is you can say, no, I'm going to cut this away, I'm going to cut that away, I'm going to cut that away. So for instance, I might say no more SMT, no more traveling to other countries. I'll take away the things that I can first, keeping those things that are priority.
Yeah.
Isn't that what we all do? Why is it impossible for government to do that?
But
But those are the things that they don't want to do, definitely.
They have. Why don't they want to do it?
They don't want to give up the packs that they have. So, they rather actually retrench a number of people than actually cutting on some of this. Yeah.
Okay, fine. They can keep the SMTs and whatever, but then we take something else. Let's say the petrol, that free petrol that they're getting. We take that away. You can have the SMTs, but the petrol you pay for yourself when you are being sent to X, Y, or Z place. You won't pay for your own cost going there. Right? Just the petrol. No more petrol cards. How much will we get back in terms of that? That is an exercise that should be done by maybe an independent party, maybe government. But to say, if even the cars, no more Mercedes-Benz, we're going to sell the whole fleet from the president's office to the last guy. I don't know who that is, but to the very last guy. We're going to sell the whole fleet, make income off of that, and we're going to all be driving Daihatsus.
Yeah.
You know, imagine the president motorcade with Daihatsus. It seems funny to us because they've always lived large. Right?
Exactly.
But if you know the president of Peru, is it Peru? The guy who drives, he was a president for many years, and actually he was the poorest president in the world. Just Google the poorest president in the world. I don't think he's still president, he used to be. But that guy didn't take a salary, or he only took a salary, he didn't have very expensive things, yeah. And he ran the country. Unfortunately, he ran the country with the same mentality that he liked to live. But my point is that it's not true when somebody says to you, I don't have the money. Then it's not that important. If it's important, if you cannot say to me, we don't have the money to buy medication.
Yeah.
Then it's not that important. That's all it means.
Yeah.
This is all about whatever they prioritize, they tell you what is important. If it is important for SMTs, if it is important for cell phone bills and what, that's what's important to them.
Yeah.
Right? So that is telling you who they are. And in theory, the voting masses are supposed to keep that in mind and apply that despite what is being said at that particular time. They're supposed to, and that's what happens. But the problem is only that all the voters are chickens. 1 year they forgot everything. They forgot everything. they can't keep anything in mind. The person will come and say, no, well, like this. Oh, but now you forgot. Why did you forget?
Yeah.
So that is not true that there is no money. There is money, it's just that it's not that important.
Yeah. Well, thanks for that contribution, man. Yeah.
Okay, bye.
All right. All right. And that actually brings us to the end of our Unpacking the Day episode this morning. Let's do this again tomorrow. And please continue to listen to Eagle FM and the programs that are coming your way throughout the day today. And what coming up now, it's Mind the Gap with Helmut. For me, Michael Chevalier, I wish you a pleasant day ahead and a productive week ahead. So from now, for me, it's a goodbye for now. Until tomorrow.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Catatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
the views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The eye.